You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back, and we are here with the South Florida Multifamily Update. We've got a developer from DevStar. We've got Anthony Burns. Anthony not only was a member of the military and went to the military academy, but he's battled through the condo wars. He knows what's going on. They're building a big project up in Aventura. We're going to talk to him about that and more. And we've got Brian Bandel. Brian is the lead business writer, award-winning guy over from South Florida Business Journal. Brian's going to be on. He's going to be acting as our pundit today.
Exactly.
All right. All right. So we're ready to go. First of all, I want to start with Brian. Brian, set the market, set us straight on the market. You talk to all the developers, all the people in the different parts of the business. What is your feel today on where the market is and is going? There's I gave you the easy one.
Yeah, there's still a tremendous amount of construction, even though the Herald wrote today that, oh, the boom is coming to a close. It's not coming to a close. Certainly, sales of new units aren't as fast as they were previously. But when I'm going through development applications, there's a huge amount of applications for new condos, for apartments, all over South Florida, from downtown to Miami Beach to North Miami Beach to Fort Lauderdale. There's a tremendous amount of activity. A lot of it on the higher-end prices. So we're continuing to see this activity going. For anyone who's been around downtown and look at the cranes, believe me, there's no shortage of construction going on.
Now, there's no shortage of construction going on, and I've got a friend right here, Anthony Burns, who's in the middle of that construction. How many units are you building right now with that project, Anthony?
We have 468 currently under construction, along with 112 slip marina.
Wow, plus some beautiful common areas right there on Biscayne Boulevard, just in the south part of Aventura. It's great stuff. Saw it featured on Million Dollar Listing Miami. But Anthony, so Brian talked about the fact that there's a lot of construction that's planned. Let's say somebody gets a construction loan and starts tomorrow. What are they up against?
Well, the major challenge that everyone in the market's facing right now on the construction front is the scarcity of labor and the construction costs associated with that. And so what that means, and I echo what Brian had said in terms of a lot of applications, et cetera, but what's going to actually put the brakes on that, and why I think the market, I also disagree with what the Herald said and why the market I think is still in a very healthy position, is that while there may be a slowdown in terms of the number of buyers, that slowdown is going to naturally regulate the market. And so that natural regulation, which has been really forced upon the development community by the financial markets and the inability to get construction loans unless you're already substantially sold out, is going to naturally put a break on the system so that buildings that, and projects that may have gotten the applications approved, if they don't actually get the sales, they're not moving forward, and therefore you're not going to actually have an overbuilding issue.
So then it sounds to me like we're in somewhat of an equilibrium, and there's an entire buyer pool that you've alluded to, but they remain unaddressed. I'm speaking about the people that maybe make $500,000 a year and live here. Those people can't buy a place to live. So I got to believe that there's still a lot of rope out there for you guys to build deals with if you can create a structure that helps the people that live here buy a unit. Now, Brian, are you hearing any evolution in the marketplace where that might occur?
Rentals.
Oh.
The people who live here are mostly going for rentals or single-family homes. The problem with the condo market, if you live here, is the Fannie Mae hasn't approved a lot of the condos here. So even if you wanted to buy in a condo here, you couldn't put 20% down with a Fannie Mae back loan. You couldn't get an FHA back loan. It actually is easier to get a single family home and put 20% down or an FHA loan with 3% down than it is to get a condo loan because the buildings aren't approved. But they're building very high end rentals in South Florida, downtown Miami, downtown Fort Lauderdale. You know, they're going for rentals, some of them, you know, $2,000 a unit.
$3 a foot. It's got to be, if it's bigger than eight, higher than eight stories, the number of the week is $3 a foot rents you've got to get. And the way they're doing that is just they're making the unit smaller with keeping the same number targeted for gross rent. So you're right. But so let's swing it back a little bit to Anthony now. Sorry, did I cut you off?
That's cool.
Do.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Jimmy, cut me off. You're a turkey. But Anthony, so high-end condos are coming. They're being sold to foreigners. In your project, I guess a lot are from Brazil?
Yeah, we have a significant number from Brazil, followed by Colombia and Venezuela.
So if these people don't live in them, are they planning to put them on the rental market? If they are, who's going to run them?
Well, at the end of the day, there's two worlds in terms of the pre-construction condo market right now. There's the product that is being sold to people. Well, let me take a step back. Most of the condos now being bought is a result of capital flight. That is then broken into two different buckets. The first bucket being the folks that are truly putting their money into what they view as an investment property, meaning it's a smaller condominium, most likely located in downtown or Brickell, and the rental metrics actually yield some small return on their investment after they've paid off of the expenses. The other side of the coin are the condos that are where they're actually intending to live. Those would be more on the beach, larger units such as ours, which are truly a second home. Although capital flight is a consideration for these people, they're actually going to live there. And so for projects like that, it makes it much more difficult to actually make the rental economics work. And so that's really where you're seeing. And so for the folks that want to actually have an investment here, you know, they're going to mostly stick to the smaller condos, the ones that are in the more urban areas.
Yeah, the downtown, the Brickell.
Exactly.
There you see a
exactly.
lot of buildings like Brickell House, you know, it's like almost half have been rented out. So they're sort of like glorified apartment buildings.
Well, and if you also look at it's interesting, if you look on the MLS for some of these new condos that have been leased, a significant number of the units are already back on the market trying to be flipped. And that's, you know, an obvious result of the fact that these were the first ones in the cycle. Those people bought in the $300-$400 a foot range, and now Brickell's trading at $600 a foot. So these people are trying to realize a lot of their gains, which will also be another downward pressure on the presale market.
Yeah, but
I can go buy
as the new units, they're being put on the market for like $750 a square foot. So can you buy it $750 a square foot and then rent it and make money? Because all these people, it's easy to make money when you bought a $400 a square foot.
Right.
But $750, what harder to make money? You got to charge a lot.
No, the people that are buying the already completed product, those people are looking to hopefully cover their costs. They're looking to try and expatriate capital, put it in the United States in a hard asset, and maybe they break even, maybe they have to feed it a little bit, but at the end of the day, they're not looking to try and actually make a return off of that. You know, down the road, does that $700 turn into $800 or $900? You know, maybe there's some capital appreciation.
Well, you know, I want to interrupt the Brian Bandel show to ask a question.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Nah, Brian, I love you. I interrupt. Actually, this is all I really want to do is make it like three guys having lunch, talking around and just having a good time. And Anthony was making some great questions. Some, you know, that's actually stuff you don't really hear, Anthony. And find a nuance about the, you know, what's trading why and the rental and the bigger units and such like that. And it's something that I always wonder because they're building a lot of these big units in Edgewater. And I'm wondering where all these people are going to come from because there's not a lot of people that can afford all these units. And then I live in a building in that market. I live in a rental building, in a purpose-built rental building in that market. And I'm seeing a lot of roommates. And, you know, I hear about
the trend.
I hear people on Brickell that one person comes up to the condo board and then four people move in. So it seems to me like what we're really going to see is an increase in unit internal density. I don't know how else to say it. More people, more heads than they planned
on. Yeah, but not more parking spaces, right? That's
no,
the problem.
And not more pool. That's exactly right. They park on the street outside my building and then I see them walking in. So
and a lot
I don't
of the
know
new
how they're going to solve this.
A lot of the new buildings are being made with fewer parking spaces than before because of the new zoning code. So it might have maybe 1.25 parking spaces per unit, but more people living in the units because of the price. You know, now it's, you know, if 2-bedroom unit has two different, you know, people, two different families in it, or maybe two to a bedroom sometimes, or college dorm style. So.
Well, no, with my next door neighbor, I got a note slipped under my door. Somebody needed a 3-bedroom. They've been living in a 2-bedroom for years in our building. They've got two kids. Was anybody going to move? Nobody said yes. These people moved into the unit next to me, spent thousands of dollars in upgrades on the unit, probably going to live there for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and it's 5 people in 2 bedrooms, and they've got to be going crazy. It's a tiny unit. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to the fabric of our community, and that's something I wanted to talk to Anthony about. I've got 2 minutes left in the segment, Anthony. How are you creating a culture in your community that will help them to maintain their project values, and it seems to probably be easier for you because it's a second home? Go. How's that for a hard one?
That's a hard one. Yeah, quite the philosophical question.
Well,
there.
You know, we're, you know, philosophical.
Well, listen, we're I would argue we're one of the most unique projects in the Miami-Dade County condo project. And the reason being is that we're a marina community. We're 13 acres, eight of which is a marina with 112 boat slips, full fuel capacity, internet, Wi-Fi, telephone, you know, state-of-the-art marina. And so that, by definition, is going to really impact the community and the lifestyle that we're creating at Marina Palms. And so, well, you can go and live in a condo in Brickell or downtown. You're living in a condo building. When you live at Marina Palms, you're living a lifestyle because it's based on a marina. It's based on the water and the boating culture. And that's really something that we're looking to foster.
Well, you know, that sounds great. I'm getting the signal from AC that it's time to wrap up this segment. Hopefully you two guys can stick around some more. I'm going to let the Brian Bandel show evolve because the guy asked some pretty awesome questions. And at this point, I serve it up to AC to help me get happy again. Let's go!